This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Okay, this was one we didn't get to yesterday, Michael, but it's a big story. FBS coaches voted unanimously Tuesday to adjust the red shirt rule to allow players to participate in up to 9 games while preserving a full year's eligibility in the sport. It was previously 4. So it was 4 where players, they could participate in up to 4 regular season games plus any playoff games and still maintain their red shirt, effectively allowing 4 full seasons plus another 1/3 of a season within a 5-year window. A number of coaches pushed for a more expansive approach, a full 5 years of playing time in a 5-year window. However, there were, according to ESPN, concerns about litigation in the wake of some controversial eligibility rules. The Ole Miss quarterback situation with Trinidad Chambliss comes to mind, led the group to the 9-game compromise. Now, any change will still need to be approved by the NCAA. That's funny. The coaches went on and voted, and now the NCAA still has to, like, their committee, their Division I committee still has to approve it. Where were they during the voting process? Just kind of silly.
I wonder if the NCAA will come back with a response. Like, okay, we'll give you 7 games, and then they'll have a deal.
I think the compromise was full season. Like, they wanted full season, like 5 years, regardless. So you're a freshman, you kind of get a bonus year. And the NCAA is like, no, we're not going to do that. Plus, we have this weird issue going on with Trinidad Chambliss, which we'll probably lose. He'll play football next year, I'm guessing. So they found a compromise. About half of the 136 FBS coaches, including Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, and Marcus Freeman, attended the meeting. They thought there would be more conversations and there would be more debate on more football stuff and the current football calendar. But it was the redshirt rule. Was that really the rule that really was the big one? Was that the big one that we needed to work on? The coaches wanted to talk about the transfer portal window, the playoff schedule. They wanted to get into that. But the NCAA or whoever's holding up this meeting was like, no, 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 no. You know what's killing college sports right now? The redshirt rule. You know, the 4 games thing. Let's put all of our focus on that one.
I mean, I always thought that the 4 games thing was a little strict. 6-7, to me, makes more sense.
Well, it's 9 now. So your joke didn't work because it's none of those.
I actually wasn't making a joke, but now that you say it, 6-7.
Until 2017, players were given 5 years to play in 4 seasons, with exceptions made only for seasons cut short for medical reasons. In 2017, the rule changed to allow any player who participates in 4 or fewer games to maintain their redshirt year. So that was created it was like an incentive for players to opt out mid-season to preserve eligibility. What does that do? I guess it's kind of nice. You get a red shirt year, regardless of the year you do it. So if you're hurt or whatever, and you can play like four games. If you're healthy enough to play 8, but now you're healthy enough, you can play 9. That's most of the season. So I think it's not a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I just don't know that was the thing that the coaches really wanted to go over. Why can't they fix the schedule? The transfer portal window has to change. That should not bleed into the second semester. Because what did Brian Howell tell us yesterday? All these recruits that Coach Prime's getting, not recruits, but guys in the transfer portal, they still have to wait to make sure that they clear everything, that their stuff transitions over to the next school. So that to me is like, what, you have to do that now? Shouldn't they be in school? Like, shouldn't they started classes? And some of these guys are still going through the process. Like Jordan Seaton, who just left, what's he doing? He's not going to school. He's going to be on a team somewhere, but maybe that's LSU. That's a big report. Texas is out there. But why? What is he doing in the meantime? Like, the NCAA, you're hurting yourself here. Your student-athlete thing, it becomes even more pushed away. Because they're not in class, are they? Is Jordan Seaton going to classes right now at CU? I would doubt that he is.
He can do online stuff,
I guess. But he's not committed to a school yet. So when you enter the transfer portal, what is that? That's a good question if I would have made the podcast this morning to ask Ed Lamb next week. Ed's going to be in Tuesday, Mike. He's going to co-host with me. He's going to be on for all 3 hours, so it's going to be fun. But that would be a good question to bring up to him. Because if a guy enters the transfer portal in the January window, which is the only window now, is he still going to class at the current school, or is he immediately done, and then you essentially miss a week or two or three of classes if you're a late transfer, if you're a late portal entry, like Jordan Seaton's case. Big Hub says, I think that's ridiculous. So damn near a whole season just to be like, no, I'm good. I want a red shirt. Yeah, maybe it's not. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? It's good for the player, I guess. But you could play 9 games, Mike. That's basically the season. You could sit out. Like, why wouldn't you say, hey, if you're Ohio State, you got a cupcake. You got what? Typically they have what, 2 cupcakes? I'm going to sit my guy out for a couple games. And then I've got him in games that I think we're going to win. Then, what are there, 11 games? Is that right? Is there 11 games? Is it 11? Yeah, it's 11. You're looking at me like I just said something in Spanish.
Vamos los Broncos.
Why do you say things? Why do I bring you in on things? I don't know why.
Let's go Broncos in Spanish.
I kind of gathered that because you're obsessed with the Broncos. Restraining order. Good for Sean Payton. He can stay away. You won't have to ever talk to Sean. That's good.
He's nice to me in press conferences.
I don't think so. You're not allowed to go down there, Mike. You're too obsessed. You're Robert De Niro in the movie The Fan. And the Broncos are Wesley Snipes.
I had a funny comeback for that, but I forgot what it was.
Well, thanks for bringing that up. Faith says, I think it's good for the player that is lower on the depth chart, but still can play, say, like special teams. Yeah, I think it's good for that. But if you're, so like Ole Miss this year, Michael, in their games this year, you know, like I don't know why, Ole Miss, whoever. I'm bringing up like random teams. Couldn't you say, hey, we're going to redshirt you for 2 games and then you'll be ready to go? So like Alabama's first game of the season, well, they had Florida State, but like UL Monroe, they won 73-0. Could they say, hey, we're not going to play you in a game like that? And then maybe another game down the road where we could say, okay. That's just a fascinating one. Very interesting. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Marcus Freeman, who's been in the news a bit, sounds like all that stuff kind of went away. He went to like a, what was it, like a wrestling tournament, like his son's wrestling thing, and allegedly pushed a guy, and maybe that's all going away. But Freeman's name has come up a lot with NFL jobs. But according to Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman, he is expected to remain the head coach at Notre Dame despite all the interest from NFL coaches. Why is it so hard for a college coach to transition to the NFL? You don't see it a lot. It doesn't happen a lot.
I think nowadays, with college being more and more pro, it's probably going to happen.
It might get easier?
More.
You think it'll get a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think it's going to be easier.
Why? Just because you're dealing with the same stuff now? You're dealing
with money and contracts? The talent's probably going to be, I think, similar in the plays, especially if you're like at an Ohio State and a Michigan and they run like certain pro-style offenses. I think the transition will be easier.
Maybe. Adam Thielen is calling it a career. He played for the Steelers last time out. He actually was like the only receiver doing anything for Pittsburgh in their playoff game on Monday. He announced his retirement from the NFL on social media. He did indicate that this would be his last season, and with Minnesota waiving him, gave him that opportunity to go play for a playoff team. And he did get on with the Steelers, and he was all right in that last game. Had a couple of catches. He had, in his three starts for the Steelers, he had 11 receptions for 117 yards. In five games, three starts, I guess, five games. He had two catches for 25 yards, but believe me, that was considered a good game for as bad as Pittsburgh's offense was in the blowout, 30-6. Steve Bisciotti, Michael, did you happen to... So he was very honest. That's the owner of the Baltimore Ravens doing an end-of-season press conference, and a lot of questions are about who's going to be the next coach, what's that search going to look like. He was very honest. He was asked specifically if Lamar Jackson would be involved in that process. Here's what he had to say about that.
Steve, you did mention that you invited Lamar to come up for the interviews if he wants to, the final round of interviews and everything. When it's all said and done, how much of a say will Lamar have in the head coach selection?
A lot of say, but he has no power. I have the power. They have opinions, and I want them all. I care about my players very much, but I can't give them power.
I mean, he's not wrong. Some people that rub people some people the wrong way. But the players don't. I mean, we talked about like Nikola Jokic for the Nuggets. Did he have power? Did he voice his concerns about Michael Malone at one point? NBA is probably a different story. Does an NFL quarterback, how much power do they actually have? I would imagine, depending, like if Andy Reid retires randomly and the Chiefs are up for their next head coach, if Patrick Mahomes says, I'm not interested in that coach, do you think they hire that coach? The answer is no, right? If Mahomes loves a certain coach and says, dude, that would be the guy. I'm signing off on that. That would be the guy. Do they take that into consideration or... They love a different guy and they hire that guy. I think it depends on the team. Lamar Jackson's the most electrifying man in all of sports and entertainment, but he's in a different type of quarterback category in my mind. Is he a leader? Is he a leader like a Mahomes or a Josh Allen? Is Lamar a leader like that? Some could debate that.
I think if you have a truly good quarterback, the quarterback's going to go, okay, I will work with whoever you hire.
And
if you have a good GM and a good owner, they will go, okay, we will hire someone who works well with the quarterback that we have.
Bisciotti went on to say about Lamar, he said, yeah, I invited him, but he has to realize this is a all-day process. We're going to be – because he's taken us through that process, and he's like, we sit, you know, that coach is going to go through every – Every faction of the organization. So it's not just going to be interviews with the GM and the owner. It's going to be interviews with the marketing team. It's going to be interviews with the medical team. Like everybody involved, the coach has to sit down with them, and they all come together collectively like, well, he's this way. He doesn't believe in this. He's not cool with this, or he's great with this. That's what Bisciotti was opening up to us. Like, if Lamar wants to do this, great, but he's not just going to come in for 20 minutes when I'm talking to the coach. He has to be in through the entire process of this hiring if he really wants to do it. And that's the thing. Like, we always say, how much power does Nikola Jokic have? How much power does Mahomes have? They have say, but are they actually doing the legwork of these interviews? And that's why I thought it was refreshing to hear Bisciotti say that, because it's easy for us to just go, well, if Lamar likes him, that's a go for it. If Nikola likes this guy, great. No, Bisciotti's saying, you want real say, then you have to be here. You have no power. And maybe he could earn that if he's really in depth on that process. But I thought it was refreshing to hear Bisciotti say that.
And I wonder if that's how all teams hire head coaches. Because I like that he's saying the medical staff will meet with him. Because
it's everybody.
Player safety, very important, especially in the day and age where, you know, you have three different type of helmets for, you know, concussions. Well, and you're pulling players out because they might have a concussion.
Right, and they want to, you know, your medical team, they have to answer to the NFL, too. So if you get a team doctor that comes in and says, he could play, it's not a great idea. He's technically cleared, but the risk of re-injury could be really bad. Is that coach a make him play? You know, rub some dirt on it. Those are conversations you need to have. He also was asked if the Ravens would have made the playoffs, would Harbaugh still be the head coach? Here's what he had to say.
If Tyler Loop makes that field goal, is John Harbaugh still here coaching this team?
For a week.
For a week. Okay.
That's cold, Ben. But that also is refreshing because he's saying we didn't fire him based on one game. That we didn't move on based on just one game. Those conversations were going on for a while. And the connection with their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, they weren't feeling that it was all working. So that was also refreshing, even though it was cold. He was asked about Mike Tomlin, Michael, and I'm assuming you edited this one. Because he found out in the press conference that Mike Tomlin was stepping down as the head coach of the Steelers. He shared some thoughts on that. It was kind of comical.
Mike Tomlin stepped down at Pittsburgh?
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So, is he a candidate here?
Holy Mike, wouldn't that be awesome? Only if John takes the Pittsburgh job. Wow. Wouldn't that be interesting? I don't know. That thing last week maybe disqualified him for my opening after our kicker missed a kick to let them advance. Good for Mike. Yeah, I don't know. Talk to him. I love Mike. I mean, I've admired Mike for 18 years, and that's really shocking.
It was kind of weird. It was almost like he was fantasizing about the opportunity to have Mike Tomlin as the head coach. Now, again, they would have to trade to get him, give up assets to get Tomlin because he's on 2 years under. Schefter reported yesterday that Tomlin has no interest in coaching in 2026, so likely he will take the year. I think he'd be great in media. I don't know if he'll do it. I'd love to hear Mike Tomlin. I would. He would be fascinating to hear from.
How about Tomlin on CBS? The last two coaches for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Who's the coach before? Oh, Cowher and Tomlin, the last two together. I think he'd be great as a color commentator. You know, like we're, you know, take Tony Romo's job.
Oh, Jim!
Yeah, Romo's kind of...
I've been fired!
He's struggling a little bit, it sounds like. I don't think he's that... Listen, I'm one of those guys that I don't have a lot of broadcasters that I just hate. It depends. If you're watching ESPN Plus, then you're going to find a bunch of them. But NFL guys, I just don't have those dudes that drive me nuts.
If you're
Romo's
in
probably
love,
close.
If you're in love with one player, I have a problem with that. But if you're, you know... If you're unbiased, I'm
Collinsworth.
Cool with it.
Collinsworth has had that with Brady, and he certainly has that with Mahomes.
Yeah, he does. He is a big fan of those guys, and it gets annoying. It's okay. It's okay to say this guy's really good, but move on. Stop saying, "Oh, well, let's compare this guy with Mahomes and talk about Mahomes when the Chiefs aren't playing."
I don't have a problem with it. I like Collinsworth. I actually do. I think
he
he's
looks
great.
Plastic.
I think he's fantastic. I think he's really good.
He doesn't have much more of a face left.
Bisciotti was also talking about this, and this kind of hit home for Broncos fans, talking about ownership and how he doesn't see, once he's done being the owner, he doesn't see that staying in the family. Here's what we'll play a little bit of it. We'll see how kind of long it is, but here's Bisciotti on that.
How long am I going to? Because I kind of always said I don't think, well, I'm not passing it down to the family. I made that decision 25 years ago. I don't think that's healthy for my family. I've seen families feud and ruin over these damn teams, and I was determined not to do it.
We kind of witnessed that with the Bolin situation, right? And that's why it was put into this trust, and that was pretty clunky how that whole thing went. And listen, it's I'm dealing with this on like some family side stuff, like land ownership of stuff. It can cause so many different, if you have a bunch of family members, it can cause a lot. So Bashotti's just flat out saying, yeah, there's one simple solution. I mean, they'll get money probably, but they're not going to be, I'm not handing this thing down. Kind of the opposite of what we're seeing with like Dick Monfort.
I would like to tell my dad, if you do have some land, give it to someone else. I would ruin it.
Like, see, you're honest.
I think, you know, that past example, if you have to do some research and you have to know your family very well and you have to talk to them early.
Well, and like, how
because
many
some
kids
family
does he have?
Members just should not be running a football team. And some of them maybe would be okay with it. But like, you have to get on it early and say, okay, kids.
Right. I get what
this person's going to be running the team.
Yeah.
Not you.
That's the thing. He has two sons. So which one would be the man, you know, the number one guy? They're both owning it? Okay, well, who gets the final say?
He'd have to make that decision. He'd have to make it
rather
early.
Than doing that, he's just like, no.
Sell it, give him money.
They're not really in the public eye much, so I don't know. But I just thought of that with the Bolin situation and just how rough that got, because you did have two sides of his kids, like two factions of the children
and
were
I
kind
think
of
was
at
a
odds.
Sister out there,
yeah, sister, yeah, yeah, 100%. And that did get weird. And then it went to this trust thing, and then the trust and the family had battles and all that. Let's face it, with the Broncos, as much as we love Pat Bolin. How that was handled while he was thinking of the future, it wasn't handled great. It was put in a very bad spot, which ultimately forced a sale because the NFL finally said, no, we can't do this weird trust thing. Either the Bolin family takes it or this thing is going to be up for sale. And the NFL had to step in, basically say, like, there's no owner now. This thing is a wide open market. Top bidder gets it.
And I think Pat Bolin was very naive. I think he
on
was
that
like,
part, yeah.
I'm really running the team. I love my players. I love my family. And he thought
there
was going to be someone who was exactly like him who would settle it and take it over. And,
yep.
and there wasn't.
Yeah.
There was too much fighting over the team.
Yeah. It just reminds me, like, so what's going on, like, in my family right now, we have a bunch of land that my grandpa willed to. There were five kids, now four of us. There was willed to us. But my dad is essentially a placeholder of that land, meaning he can use it and profit off it, whatever, until he dies, and then it goes to us. And we recently put my dad in a nursing home, and that's tough with Medicaid because technically the land is signed to him, but it's ours, and it's been a really grueling process just to go through that. And, of course, there's half the kids want to sell it, move on, be done with it. Some want to keep it. You're already seeing that. So I thought this whole thing from Steve Bisciotti was very eye-opening. He was extremely honest in every single clip that we just played about significant matters that involve the team. You just don't hear that very much. So I applaud him for opening up. That's another guy that I could sit and listen to for a while.
You see shades of, other than giving it down to your family, you see shades of Pat Bolin ownership. In that he cares about his players and he feels more transparent than a lot of owners. Pat Bolin was in the public
eye.
Yeah,
he was a community
guy. Not a lot of
guy.
Owners are.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what Steve Bisciotti is like as far as the community goes, but the press conference yesterday was one of the more honest pressers I've ever watched, and I think he went up a lot of people's notch, a notch or two in a lot of people's minds. Based off of that presser yesterday.
It was, for me, it was especially how he said he would handle Lamar Jackson and the players, and also how the interview process was going to go. For me, I was always thinking it was, you know, the GM and, you know, a couple executives were going to, you know, do this. But I didn't realize, is this actually how it happens, or is this how the Ravens are going to do it? Because if this is how just the Ravens are going to do it, I'd like to see more NFL teams do it.
Yeah, I think if an owner, if a player is going to say, you know, want to be involved, in a coaching hire, I think it's very wise for the owner to say, okay, you can't just step in for 10 minutes of the interview. Like, you got to go through our process. If you really want power, which Bisciotti's saying nobody has that, probably because they haven't done that. But if you really want power and say, then you got to be here from A to Z, from the beginning process to the end. And I don't want you just to walk into my office when I'm doing the final interviews with five different candidates and you sit in for 20 minutes each and then walk out and go, yeah, I really like that guy. You know, that's not what he's, that's, and I think that's huge. I think it's important. 30 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break, Michael. Coming up next, let's talk about Broncos Bills. Let's get into that a bit. Also, the Nuggets continue to do it. They continue to find ways to win. And it's an unlikely cast for a lot of these guys. And now a big question around the Nuggets is what to do about Peyton Watson. Will the Nuggets try to move some contracts around so they can ultimately re-sign this guy? And if they don't re-sign this guy, and if they have no intentions of doing that because they like the roster, do they consider making a move mid-season? Stock's going up on a lot of players. It's just worthy of a conversation. And that's what we do here. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Find out what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Renaissance Insurance is a fiercely independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence. Guys, do me a favor. If you are thinking about insurance, you're making a switch, or you're wanting to insure a new item or something in your life, maybe you started up a business, do me a favor and call Ryan first. 970-674-8825. He's been a great sponsor on my show and the Two Man Game podcast with Coach Steve Smiley. Big time supporter of all things UNC Bears. And we can't thank him enough. It's businesses like that. We talked about that earlier. That keep these shows, keep our programs rolling here on 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. That's Renaissance Insurance Group. 970-674-8825. Or visit them online at team-rig.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, it's Wednesday. I have a bad picks on Friday. Everybody knows that. I have a bad feeling about this game today. Not today. Today I have the bad feeling. The Broncos. The Broncos game is what I know you're obsessed with the Nuggets too. But talk me off the ledge here, man. Make me feel better about this game coming up on Sunday or Saturday.
The Bills don't have the weapons that they used to have.
Okay. Noted.
Broncos have a great defense.
Right.
Getting Greenlaw back, who, I don't know anything about football because I never played football.
We know he runs downhill. Don't know what that means, but we know it's
because I never played football.
That's not doing enough for me. I'm concerned specifically. Here it is.
About Josh Allen.
I'm concerned that the defense isn't going to be perfect. And our offense will not have, they don't have the weapons, especially in the run game, to keep up with the Bills. Like, that's my concern. I could see the Broncos marching right down the field, just like they did last year. Score, go, get into the red zone, easy drive, settle for a field goal, 3-0. Maybe get a stop early. Oh, they're getting after Josh Allen. I don't know, Jim. They're getting after Josh Allen. Looking good. Then the Broncos stumble in their second possession, maybe go 3 and out, maybe they get a first. Bills second possession, go down, score, 7-3. Broncos in a bad situation late in the first quarter. some interception or something bad happens, the Bills go up 14-3. That is, maybe I had a weird dream. I don't know. But that is how I feel today that this game could potentially go.
I think the Bills are thinking that the Broncos are going to try to pass the entire game. I don't think the Bills are thinking that the Broncos are going to run the ball. I think they look at, oh, what has Sean Payton done all year? Sean Payton has been throwing the ball, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to play pass. I think the Broncos are going to shock them just a little bit with the run game. They're not going to run it as much, maybe. But they're going to surprise
them. The Bills are bad against the run. The Bills are bad. I think they're one of the worst, if not the worst, this year, statistically, against the run. Very good against the pass. They play a lot of that zone defense like we talked about yesterday.
I think that they're going to say, the Broncos might try to run it a little bit. The Broncos might get 60 yards on us, but the Broncos aren't that good. They don't have a lot of talent.
A lot of people are saying.
I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah. And the Broncos aren't going to run it that much, but the Broncos are going to surprise them.
Yeah.
And the Broncos are, it's going to be a stupid game. It's going to be 16-13.
And you've got the Broncos winning, of course.
And the Broncos are going to win it in the fourth quarter with 10 points.
GoPokes just sent me the Buffalo Bills injury report. That's kind of interesting. Josh Allen was limited in practice today, but there's zero chance he's not playing. Some other big ones here. Dalton Kincaid, tight end game is going to be significant in this one. Dalton Kincaid was limited in practice. Defensive tackle Ed Oliver might be back. He was limited in practice with a bicep situation. Jordan Poyer is the big one, too, because the Bills, defensively, one of the reasons they're so good against the pass is because their safeties. Last I checked, he was not going to play this weekend. But the injury report simply says hamstring, did not practice. So that's one to watch out for. Wide receivers Curtis Samuel and Tyrell Shavers. Shavers did not practice. Curtis Samuel was a full participant. So there's your injury update. Thank you for that, GoPokes. Those injuries, other than Poyer, nothing really stands out as far as that is a big standout though, with Poyer out. Colahoma says, what happened to the Bo show? Maybe on Friday, the Bo show thing starts popping up in my brain right now. I do believe that Bo's going to be the reason the Broncos do or do not. That's my belief. I think that it's going to be on Bo Nix because I think we're going to see some holes in this defense. I saw, what was it, Washington, that kind of exposed Denver, and then they haven't necessarily been as good since. That's my fear in this game. Even though Josh Allen doesn't have the weapons he had a year ago, they have excellent tight ends and a very, very good run game, best rusher in the league.
I think we should pay the favor to go pokes. Jonathan Franklin Myers had a full practice.
Good.
Greg Greenlaw. Limited practice.
Downhill, though.
Lucas Kroll, limited practice. Drew Sanders, limited practice.
Okay.
Game status, unspecified,
okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
This is coming from DenverBroncos.com, who also lists Buffalo Bills injuries, and there are a lot of people wearing blue jerseys.
That's a lot. They have a lot. They're banged up, and Josh Allen's not 100% right. He got banged up in that game last week.
Look, I would feel bad for the Buffalo Bills, but frankly, after seeing the Broncos have like half a roster, 5 out of the last 8 years, I don't care.
No, I don't feel bad.
I don't feel bad for people anymore.
Man, it's a lot. It all starts with Josh Allen, of course, and with James Cook. They got two big studs there, really good players.
I gotta say, Josh Allen, I looked at him hurt himself, and I'm like, oh my God, he's out. The Jaguars are going to win like I predicted, and he was fine. He hurt himself again. Oh, my God, he's out. They're going to win like I predicted. Oh, he was fine.
Yeah,
I don't know how this man is still alive.
Because he's, the toughest quarterback, man. I mean, he's a big dude, strong, powerful. Colahoma says, I think Bo's going to have a great game. Broncos 27, Bills 20.
I would like to see that. I would like to see the Broncos put some points up on the board.
If the Broncos score 27, they should win. If the Broncos can score 27, they should win.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think there might be some holes in the defense, but not enough to get over the 27 mark. That I still think Denver's defense will be solid. I just have this weird feeling that you see maybe some, maybe the Bills expose them a bit in this one. We'll find out, man. Game's on Saturday. We're getting closer. 43 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nuggets are on a back-to-back tonight. I mean, come on, they can't win this one, right? Going up against the Mavericks, who obviously they have significant injuries. They're not very good. But I would imagine, like Jamal Murray, I just saw was listed as questionable for tonight. Does Aaron Gordon play tonight? You know, Christian Brown looks like he had a setback in his injury. So he didn't go. This could be, if they win this one, my goodness, Mike. My goodness, that would be crazy if they find a way. Because it's back-to-back, and they've got injuries, so they're probably not going to go crazy in this game. It's one of those that you just say, hey, we'll put dudes out there, see what happens. But if we lose, we lose.
I can tell you exactly what it means. It means that Jokic has been depending on other players, and we finally mean it.
Stop.
We finally see it.
No.
He's not the greatest.
I know you're just doing whatever Tanner did this morning. You're doing the whole, is he not good? They're not good without Joe. They got a better coach. David Adelman is doing something that I just have a hard time thinking Michael Malone. And this is not a knock on Michael Malone. I loved Michael Malone. I thought he did amazing things. Obviously led the charge when the Nuggets got their first title. I don't want to knock him. But what I'm seeing is Adelman, something else is happening with these younger players that we did not see perform well under Michael Malone. And what is that? Why is Jalen Pickett good suddenly? Why is Zeke Nnaji, you know, he didn't have any points last night, but he's been better. He's been good. Why is he suddenly playing well? Why is Hunter Tyson playing well? Why is Peyton Watson playing like an all-star? What is it? 12:50 the time. It's the coach. David Adelman. Almost called him Daniel. David Adelman. It's the coach, man. He's doing something different. We'll be right back.
Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening at 1310 KFKA.
Big party going on at Big City Roadhouse for the big game on February 8th. You're going to get another chance. Dude, they're doing it again at Big City Roadhouse. They're giving away a 55-inch smart TV during halftime. Go to the game. Go there for the game. And you're going to be a chance to win like a remote control. If your remote control turns the TV on at halftime, you get the TV. Like, this is, and these are legit TVs. You can go to Big City Roadhouse right now. It's boxed up, brand freaking new, sitting there right when you walk in. And on that day, they're going to be doing $3 domestic pints, $4 micro pints all day with your chance to win a TV. They're giving stuff away at Big City Roadhouse. And Michael, that's what I want to do right now.
You want to go down there right now?
I do, actually. I'm starving. I could definitely go down there.
Yeah, we don't need an hour three.
They're doing something. They've got this spin on a BLT that Cleta was telling me about that gets me really... The food is just amazing. And I'll give you some more details on that because I'm going on a quest in 2026, Mike, a quest. And I might invite you to go on one of these quests. I'm going to try every single thing on the menu, not at once, at Big City Roadhouse and give it a real review. And an honest review. I'm going to do that for you. How about that? And maybe I'll invite you as a guest at some point. But Big City Roadhouse, that's the place to go, man. That's the place. Awesome. All right, 12:55 the time. I got a $25 gift certificate to give away right now. Big City Roadhouse. Be caller 10, 970-353-1310, 970-353-1310. Caller number 10, you got a $25 gift certificate. Buy or sell. Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.